You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
I thought it was a hoax. I guess it's not. Those were the famous last words, or those were among the last words, of a man who died of COVID-19 in a hospital in Texas last week. According to Dr. Jane Appleby, chief medical officer at Methodist Hospital in San Antonio, the man told one of his nurses that he attended a COVID party, a party where at least one guest is known to have COVID because he didn't think the virus was real. Spoiler alert, it is. It is real. It is not a hoax. There are 13 million confirmed cases around the world, 600,000 deaths, 3.5 million people in the United States have been confirmed to have contracted COVID-19, and 140,000 Americans are dead. The disease is spreading out of control in Texas and Arizona and Florida and California. So yeah, it's real. It is not a hoax. COVID parties, on the other hand, I'm thinking those might be a hoax. According to the New York Times, some health experts are casting doubt on whether or to what extent COVID parties are really happening. That hospital in San Antonio, where the guy who attended that COVID party in San Antonio died, they didn't release the name of the man who died after he told the nurse he made a mistake by going to that party, and they didn't release the name of the nurse who heard his last or close to last words. There's nothing in news reports about health officials in San Antonio trying to track down other people who attended the party where this man got infected. So, color me skeptical. Stories about COVID parties remind me of stories I read about rainbow parties back in the early 1990s. At rainbow parties, teenage girls put on different shades of lipstick and then took turns giving blowjobs to teenage boys, leaving covered rings up and down their cocks until they looked like, I guess until all the boys looked like they were wearing rainbow tube socks on their dicks. It was a popular moral/sex panic story that only people who'd never given or received a blowjob, or never met or never were teenage boys, could possibly believe. The point of those rainbow party stories was to scare parents, to convince parents they shouldn't let their daughters leave the house or buy lipstick at the mall or, again, leave the house. The point of a COVID party story is to instill fear too. And in contrast to stoking fear of teenage sexuality and unrealistic expectations about lipstick, there is something to fear here. Unlike blowjobs, COVID-19 is actually something we should all be afraid of, very afraid. But lots of people don't seem to be, because people are going to parties, not COVID parties, which may or may not be happening, just parties. But guess what? In the United States right now, all parties are COVID parties, and all restaurants are COVID restaurants, and all bars are COVID bars, and all Disney worlds are COVID worlds, the tragic kingdom. So if you read that story about that guy in Texas who went to that COVID party because he thought it was a hoax and then died, and you thought, ah, what an idiot, and then you turned around and went to a bar or a restaurant or a barbecue or motherfucking Disney World, you're just as big an idiot as that guy who died in that hospital in Texas after going to that party. If you don't believe it's a hoax, but behave just as recklessly as people who do, the odds that you'll say your last words in a bed in an ICU to a nurse are pretty good and getting better around here every day. So, people, if you want to party when this is over, stay home as much as possible for now. Maintain physical distance, wear a mask, or you can act like it's already over and your friends can raise a glass to your memory at a party when it is actually over. At least the friends you didn't infect and kill. All right, coming up on today's show on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and joining us for this week's magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com. Twice as much show, more guests, no ads. Comedian Jay Jordan joins us to tackle some of your sex questions. And a programming note, on Thursday, July 30th, Nancy and I will be doing another Savage Love live stream on Zoom. It was so much fun last month when we did a live stream. We are doing it again. Go to savagelovecast.com/events to get your tickets. And now your calls. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Babbel. Babbel is the new way to learn a foreign language. This comprehensive learning system combines effective education methods with state-of-the-art technology. And right now, for Savage Love listeners, when you purchase a three-month subscription, Babbel will give you, our listener, three additional months free when you use the promo code SAVAGE. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by DoorDash. Get $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code SAVAGE. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is sponsored by OMG Yes, videos that explore new ways to increase sexual pleasure based on new scientific research. Get a discount on the new second season at omgyes.com/savage. That's omgyes.com/savage.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. I'm a gay male in my mid-40s calling from New England with an unexpected quarantine sex story. At the beginning of the pandemic, I joined a popular jerk-off website and have been having a great time chatting and camming with other horny men anonymously. Last week, I saw this guy who caught my eye in particular. He had a beautiful cock and body, and really seemed to be enjoying himself on camera. So I messaged him to tell him. And happily, he expressed the same about me. I asked if he would show his face, and after chatting back and forth, we decided to video chat with each other privately to do so. So there we were, with cocks in hands and faces on camera, and immediately I recognized this guy. He was a professional colleague with whom I had collaborated a couple of times over the years. We hadn't seen each other or been in touch in a very long time, so as you can imagine, it was quite the surprise for us both. After catching up some and trying to convince ourselves that it wasn't too weird, we said it was nice to see each other and ended the video chat. But over the next few days, I was so turned on and almost giddy about the whole experience that I decided to message him and let him know. And happily, he said he too was still buzzing about it and was glad that he wasn't the only one. So we agreed to meet up again online very soon. If there's a moral to this story, perhaps it was worth getting caught with my pants down. Thanks, Dan, for all you do and for helping to keep us all sane.
The moral of the story for you may be that it's not always bad to get caught with your pants down, but the moral of this story for me is a million people are going to call in and ask, what is this jack-off site where you found the hot guy with the ripped body? They're going to want to know where they can find him and you and all the other guys jacking off online. So I don't know the answer. Maybe you'll call back. Maybe you'll share that with us and we can play it in the update. But don't ask me, listeners, don't ask me where this website is because I am pure and innocent and ignorant of what website he was referring to. Thank you so much for your call. If you want us to start the show with your sexy quarantine story or even just your sexy success story, give us a buzz, phone it in, and we might open the show with your story next week.
Hey, Dan. I am a 25-year-old gay man living in Colorado at the moment, and I just had a question in terms of a relationship I'm in. I get that everyone has their own age differences and age gaps. I just wanted to have your take on it of if it would be something detrimental down the road. So my partner, who I met in Colorado at a bar, of course, is a good bit older than me. He is 39 years old. And I know in the grand scheme of things, that's not incredibly different, but that is a giant age gap. And I always notice every time we hang out that we definitely have differences. I mean, the relationship is great. We both love each other very much. Everything is just fantastic. So I guess my question to you is this something to keep pursuing? I want to keep actively pursuing it, and I'm actually an Alabama native, but I'm sticking it out to be able to see if it's worth the shot. And so far, so good. Sex is great, and we just get along. He's been the only guy I've been able to actually open up to and be fully comfortable with in a very long time. And I just don't want the age gap to be something that would cause a giant concern for the future. We've talked about it. It doesn't seem that big of an issue. I just want to see your take on it.
You don't want the age gap to derail this relationship, and yet you're thinking, at least considering ending this relationship, this fantastic, terrific relationship with someone that you feel comfortable with, someone you've opened up to in a way you've never opened up to anyone else. You're contemplating ending this relationship. That's why you're calling me, because of the age gap. Well, if you don't want the age gap to derail the relationship, don't end the relationship for no other reason than the age gap, which is 13, 14 years, which is significant, but not enormous. There are people out there in successful long-term relationships where there are decades that separate the partners, as opposed to one single measly decade and change. What you're doing is you're gaming this out. Will this relationship last forever and ever and ever? And will this thing that is not a problem now become a problem down the road? And the answer is not all relationships last forever and ever and ever, and that's fine. A relationship can end. It's something that two people can exit and still be friends and have learned and grown together and benefited from being in that relationship. Let's say you stay in this relationship despite the age gap, and in 3 or 4 more years, it ends for other reasons. Well, what did you learn in this relationship? Well, you learned that you can connect. You learned that you can make yourself vulnerable. You learned that you can open up to somebody. So even if this relationship should end, which is, of course, the concern here that you're attaching entirely to the age gap, when there's lots of other reasons why relationships with or without age gaps ends, if it indeed ends, that doesn't mean it failed. It doesn't mean that you didn't benefit from being in it. It doesn't mean that you aren't better for it and won't look back on it, grateful for having been in this relationship as you head off into a newly single life or head off into another relationship down the road. A quick digression about differences. It's good to have some differences kind of built into a relationship. You want there to be certain unbridgeable gaps, and maybe age and experience is an unbridgeable gap that, rather than turn it into a problem, you can turn it into something that you enjoy, that you both bring different sort of generational, although it's only 13, 14 years, we're talking about perspectives to the table. And this is, you know, that's what drives a lot of eroticism. It's like a gap that must be bridged, or an unbridgeable gap. And sometimes people, you know, identify differences in the relationship and think, oh, it cannot survive because of these differences. When actually, if you learn to celebrate the differences and enjoy them and lean into them and not try to solve them, the differences can be stabilizing. It is working. It is working for you right now. You say that you met in a bar. Well, that option's off the table for the moment for all of us, particularly folks in California and Texas and the United States of America, where we are not getting this coronavirus under control. And so why end it? Why even contemplate ending something that works and will be hard to replace at a moment like this? Even if COVID wasn't an issue, even if there wasn't some external force that would make finding a new partner at this moment extremely difficult, there is literally no friction in this relationship except the meaning and importance that you are attaching to the age difference. Look around. Think about the people in your life. You must know people who are in relationships with age gaps that were similar, as large, or larger. And even if those relationships ended, they benefited from being in them. You are benefiting from being in this relationship. Enjoy it. It'll work for as long as it works. When it stops working, you can reassess. But at this moment, dude, suck his dick. Enjoy his old fucking daddy dick for as long as he's slamming it into you. And yes, that is me making an assumption attached to age that may or may not be true about who is the top or who is the bottom. Hopefully you're both verse kids rule the world. Been thinking about relearning that language you took in high school or college, but think it will take too much time? Babbel can help you pick it up again and pick it up fast. I've been thinking about brushing up on my German skills lately because I have loved ones in Austria that I won't be able to see for a while. So there's no better time than now, and I will be able to impress them with my German when I get back. Babbel is proven to get you speaking a language within weeks. Babbel designs their courses with real-world conversation in mind, letting you learn a little more every day, practical conversations that you will actually be able to use. The daily lessons are 10 to 15 minutes and start by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations. Babbel lessons are thoughtfully created by over 100 language experts, and their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective across multiple studies. They even have speech recognition technology that helps improve your pronunciation and accent. And with Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. And Babbel is available as an app or online, so your progress will be synced across all your devices. And right now, when you purchase a 3-month subscription, Babbel will give you, our listener, 3 additional months for free when you use the promo code SAVAGE. That's 3 additional months for free if you go to babbel.com and use promo code SAVAGE on your 3-month subscription. That's BABBEL.com, promo code SAVAGE.
Hey, Dan and Nancy and the Tech Savvy At-Risk Youth. 29-year-old gay male in Colorado. My question today is, is it okay to break up with somebody because of mental illness? It's a touchy subject, and I am very conflicted about it. My partner and I have been together for 1.5 years. We actually dated once 3 years ago. Got back together because it looked like he'd been taking care of himself, and he'd been doing all this stuff, and 1.5 years later, you know, the mask comes off, here we are, and he is really, really unstable. I feel like I'm walking a tightrope all the fucking time. I'm walking on eggshells. It is tumultuous. I am fairly successful. He definitely benefits from that. As far as where we live together, you know, our lifestyle, and I just don't know how much longer I can take it, and I feel bad. I feel really bad. I do love him, but I think our relationship has taken more of, I kind of feel like his parent, or, oh God, our caretaker or something. What's the best way to go about this, Dan?
Giving him the benefit of the doubt that doing what he needs to do to take care of himself and get better wasn't an act. He did that on his own. He did that before you started dating him again, after having dated him 3 years ago when he was less healthy 3 years ago, and you met him and he seemed better and you started dating him and he fell apart. Again, giving him the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't just an act. He wasn't just holding it together long enough to get you to agree to him moving in and then falling apart again. He's clearly able to take care of himself on his own. He can get his shit together if he has to. And right now, with you there walking on eggshells, acting as caretaker and parent, he does not have to get his shit together. You should end this relationship. You can end this relationship in a loving, cautious, and conscientious way. You say that you're successful. That usually means in America that you are financially successful. Well, not to make this too commodified or transactional, how much would it be worth to you to have him out of your life? How much would it be worth to you to ease him out of this relationship in a way that isn't as jarring as it might be for him and his lifestyle? Line up friends that you have in common, alert his family, perhaps in advance, about your intentions, and then go to him and let him know you're ending the relationship, but you want him to be well. You are not chucking him out on the street. Line up whatever resources you can that he may need to address his mental health issues. Lay it all out in front of him. Tell him you're going to rent him an apartment for a few months while he gets his shit together. This isn't an endless financial commitment that you're making to him because you don't want to enable him not to take care of himself. So give him the start and end date of your continued financial, if not emotional, support. And you can be there for him in other ways, so long as you aren't being dragged into this in some sort of codependent way where you're never allowed to leave. You are allowed to leave this relationship, and you are allowed to end a relationship because the other person isn't in good working order. Sometimes we're in long-term committed relationships and our partners have a crisis. And the standard isn't then, of course, no longer in good working order, you're out, it's over. The standard is, I will help, but you have to do the work. If you see your partner doing what they need to do to get better and get healthy after they hit rock bottom or after they have a crisis or a mental health issue surfaces, well, then I think that there is some moral obligation to stick it out. There is a moral obligation to stay. They are trying. And if someone isn't trying and you begin to suspect that your presence in their life is enabling this lack of effort, this lack of trying, not getting better, not working on themselves, then it's often in their best interest for you to end the relationship, for you to go, for them to have to start taking care of themselves, which is what he did before you guys began to date again a year and a half ago. He took care of himself. He got his shit together. He did it then. He can do it again. This time he'll be doing it with a little bit more emotional and financial support, perhaps, at least initially from you, than he had to do it when he did it on his own. But yeah, you can end this relationship. He may accuse you of being a bad person. And I think it would be evidence that you were a bad person if you just changed the locks one day on the apartment or house that you pay for. But if you offer him what help you can reasonably, and if you line up some resources for him, if he's not capable or motivated at the moment to seek out those resources for himself, and you call in the cavalry, let his family know what's going on. If he has family that he can rely on, let some mutual friends know what's going on, if they can step up, then you can end this relationship even in the face of accusations from him that you're being a bad person without actually being a bad person. While it may not be safe to eat in restaurants right now, you can continue to support restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash right now that need your patronage to survive. Now more than ever, support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings food you're craving to you at your door right now. And ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Help them stay open by opening the DoorDash app, selecting your favorite local restaurant, and getting your food delivered to you, left for you safely at your door. Again, DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities they operate in safe. And right now, our listeners can get up to $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code SAVAGE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code SAVAGE. Don't forget, use the code SAVAGE for $5 off your first order, no delivery fees with DoorDash.
Hi, Dan. I'm a cisgendered straight male. Just yesterday, my girlfriend and I broke up at her choosing. We were together almost 2 years. She's identified as queer with a strong preference for females, but obviously she had an attraction to me. Whenever we have sex, her stimulation came clitorally, never vaginally. So when we had intercourse, it was basically for me. And we've understood that, and I was fine with it. When quarantine happened back in March, we've never lived together, so we were forced to be apart for quite a long time. About 6 weeks into quarantine, and we just missed each other so much, we broke the rules, and we met up at her house, and we spent the weekend together, and we had sex then, and when the intercourse started, she suddenly started crying. And of course I stopped and basically came down to she just wasn't enjoying it. And that was about a month ago. And yesterday she decided she wanted to end it with me. So the reason I'm calling, I'm wondering, I offered to go without intercourse for a while till we can both come to an understanding. But she said she just doesn't want sex to be that anymore for her. Is she making a mistake? Because otherwise our relationship was great. It truly was. She told me so. She said I'm the best relationship she's ever had.
Hey, it's Dan Savage returning your call.
Hi, Dan Savage. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Heartbroken. But I'm all right overall, yeah.
Okay, so there's been no developments since
you called. Yeah, I sent her an email, you know, respecting her feelings and everything, but kind of offering, you know, my thoughts. And we talked some more after, and she said, you know, she thanked me for everything, very cordial, polite, and respectful. But she's just like, you know, I've been thinking about us a while, talking to friends and respected people, and I believe I am a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, I've always considered myself a straight ally, so it'd be very hypocritical of me to try to convince her otherwise at that point.
Right. But you're allowed to be hurt. You're entitled to your feelings about this. You made an emotional investment in this relationship at a time when she believed herself to be queer and leaning toward ladies, but also into dudes. And she was still working through that, and you respect that. But you still were hurt, you know, in this process of her determining, you know, who ultimately she is and who ultimately she wants to be with. And I think that can be true, that she's a lesbian, and you can also have been the best relationship she's ever been in, even though it wasn't the right relationship. And, you know, people sometimes say, you know, this was the best relationship I've ever been in, or they say that about a relationship when they've just been dumped by someone else. And it, you know, people then want to say, well, obviously it wasn't the best relationship they've ever been in, or they wouldn't have ended it. Well, sometimes people end the best relationship they've ever been in because, you know, they've determined it's not the right relationship for them going forward, even if it is up to that time the best relationship they've ever been in. So I think those feelings can be legitimate. You know, if she is lesbian identified, if that's, you know, if that's the answer that she's come to, there's not a lot of wiggle room for you here. You can't offer her a relationship where you don't have penetrative sex. It sounds like when you called, you know, you guys had intercourse and she began to cry. And you attributed her tears or her upset to the intercourse itself. And maybe she was crying for, you know, the pain she knew that she was going to have to inflict on you, that, it, you know, having sex with you as much as she loves you was just emphasizing to her that it was impossible to stay in this relationship. You know, and our sympathies always go to the people who've just been dumped. That is the worst heartbreak. That is the greater heartbreak. But often to dump someone that you like or love and you've shared important memories and times with, that can be painful too for the person doing the dumping because of what they're going to lose and the connection and the affection and the history and the intimacy, but also the painful awareness that here's this person who loves me and that I love, and I'm going to put them through the worst thing, maybe the worst thing they've ever been through by ending this relationship, which I need to do not just for myself, but also for them. Cause you wouldn't want to be with her for 40 years going forward if the relationship was wrong or made her miserable. You love her. You want her to be happy. And if she couldn't be happy with you, you want her to be happy with someone.
Yeah, you're right. She stated she wants to be friends, and I said I want to eventually get there, but, you know, I said I need some time to mourn and you know, distance for a bit, and she said she's more than happy to give me the time I need. Any advice on getting there? Because right now, if I saw her, I just want to hug her and kiss her, and yeah.
Don't see her. That would be my advice. Your impulse to wait and wait a good long while, at least 6 months to a year before you have a tentative coffee date, you know, before you get together at a time and a moment where, you know, there's clear brackets. You know, it's not an open-ended evening of dinner and drinking and hanging out. It's like a quick coffee in the middle of a work day so you guys can see if, you know, being together is painful for you or painful for her, and it's always probably going to be, at least in the short run, a little more painful for you as the dumped party. But you need to put that off for a year. And if you listen to the show, you've heard me talk, you know, the advice I give people when they've been dumped, except for go to the gym, which right now we're not supposed to do. It's all the same, you know, binge watch movies, eat some ice cream, identify the three or four friends who will let you just pour your heart out to them, but tell them in advance only to give you a month to do that, to really wallow, and then you want them to pull you up by the lapels and tell you to change the subject or shut up or ask somebody else how they're doing or talk about something else. But you need to have a couple of people in your life who understand that, like, for the next 4 weeks, I am going to be a broken record and an annoying broken record, and you're going to indulge me. And that's slightly transactional, because the understanding, and I think it should be explicit, is when this happens to you, and it happens to all of us, I will do this for you too. I will be the person you can call at 2 a.m. and wake up because you need to talk. And then I will be the person 3 weeks or 4 weeks after that middle of the night phone call who tells you to shut up. Let's, you know, go see a movie if that's possible. Again, sometime soon, or go to the gym, or go for a walk, or go for a bike ride. Let's, like, do something else. But yeah, you got to grieve it. The only way through it is through it. You got to feel the fuck out of your feelings. You're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be angry. You know, if we lived in a world where particularly women have sometimes a harder time determining that they're lesbian or bi, because, you know, the heterosexual script is so, you know, pounded into them. And they're, you know, socialized to defer to men and not think about what they want or what who they are, but what their male partner might want and who their male partner is and how they can fit into their male partner's life, ego, psyche. And, you know, you were set up for this pain, not by your girlfriend's maliciousness. She wasn't malicious, but by a culture where your girlfriend didn't feel entitled to work out who she was. Perhaps for a very long time. I don't know how old you guys are, but perhaps it took her, you know, decades longer than it might have.
Hey, you can't decide if now is the best or worst time to be single either.
Well, there's a lot of people who are single now, and there's a lot of people who are going to be single as soon as this is over, because there's a lot of people who are cooped up right now with people they're realizing they don't want to be with for the next six decades, particularly if we all have to be locked in our apartments for the next six decades. So I would encourage you, you know, in addition to hanging out with friends after the month of wallow is over, to then get online and start online dating and interacting with people who, you know, can give you a little hope for the future, even if you can't meet up with them presently.
True, yeah.
I'm sorry you're going through this, but it's survivable. Look around.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably been dumped before and survived it, and you know lots of people who've been dumped and miserable and are now in new relationships that not only make them happy, but make them realize that getting dumped by that person at that point in their life was not just good for the person who dumped them, but good for them in the long run too. But that takes time.
Very true. Thank you very much for the call. It means a lot. And thank you for everything you've done. You've been a big, you know, when I started with her, I credited you as, you know, I probably would have never been able to impress her and you know, be someone she'd consider if it wasn't for listening to your show and reading. And so, you know, even though it didn't work out.
I'm glad you can thank me for that, because in a way, you know, you're able to be in this relationship with her because of me, and you're currently in pain because you're able to be in this relationship with her because of me. And so I apologize for my part in the pain that you're feeling right now. But relationships don't have to last forever for you to have benefited and grown in them, and to one day look back even on a relationship that ended that you didn't necessarily want to end and be grateful that it happened. And but again, like everything else, that just takes time to gain that sort of perspective and peace.
Absolutely. You're right as always.
Not always right, but good luck. And thank you for calling. And I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate it very much. I hope you and your family are well through this terrible time in history.
Well, thank you. Talk to you soon. OMGYes.com is a website where you can explore the science of sexual pleasure. In partnership with Yale University, Indiana University, and Kinsey Institute researchers, all their scientists asked tens of thousands of people what insights actually made their sex lives more pleasurable, what made their pleasure better. They publish their findings in scientific journals and then share them in accessible, understandable ways all over their inspiring website, OMGYes.com. www.thefamousdiagram.com. It's packed with videos, infographics, and interactive diagrams. What many don't know about omgs.com is that it's not a subscription site. It's a one-time payment for a collection of content. It's like buying a book that you keep forever. And that one-time payment also funds their next waves of research, like an upcoming first-ever study about specific techniques for men's pleasure, the first-ever study on strategies for trans and gender-diverse pleasure, and the first study to find the specific ways trauma survivors and their partners reconnect with pleasure. Pleasure is such a central and important part of our lives, but it's been understudied because of taboos in the science and academic worlds around centering pleasure when you're talking about sex. But by funding and doing this research, and you help fund this research and building a foundation of scientifically validated information and descriptive terms for what works for people, it really can help bring this topic into the light, not just for ourselves, but for future generations too. Leading not just to better sex and fuller lives, but also breaking the cycles of taboo and shame once and for all. There is still so much to be discovered, and you can benefit from the discoveries that have already been made and help make the new discoveries. You can support the cause, get the resources that you need about the latest findings, and become a lifelong learner about your and your partner's pleasure at omgs.com. And Savage Love listeners get a special discount at omgs.com/savage. Do yourself a favor. Do the show a favor. Go to omgs.com/savage.
Hey, Dan, gay man calling from the East Coast. So I'm calling about trying to have a discussion with other gay men about sex during COVID. What's basically happened is Bear Week in Provincetown, which is a gigantic event, has of course been canceled in July, but a lot of guys are planning to go anyway. I'm one of them, actually. I think of it as a very different vacation, kind of, you know, less crazy and more sunshine and hanging out with friends and, you know, restaurants that are all social distance and so on. But many of the guys in the Facebook group about guys who are going are talking about having a lot of sex and hooking up, and it worries me not just for their health, but this tiny town wants tourists to come but is desperately afraid when tourists come from all over and start doing things unsafely, like having sex, that it will bring corona to have a stronger presence in Provincetown. Add to this that, you know, Massachusetts has had a lot of really good success with a heavy lockdown and people really paying attention to masks. But now we're at a critical point. So I want to keep having this discussion, and I don't want to shame anybody. I'm all for a good hot sex and, you know, can't wait for next year and hope things change. But right now it just seems irresponsible and inconsiderate to the town.
We spoke with Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis on the show last week. Dr. Dimitri from New York City Health, and they've been putting out a lot of really good, realistic, harm reduction-y advice about being sexual during this pandemic, that people are going to have sex and we need to direct them to have sex in ways that minimize and mitigate the risks that are built in. And the irony in your question and your call is two people getting together for sex, if they don't kiss, if they get a little kinky, wear masks while they're having sex, probably less dangerous than a bunch of people piling into a restaurant, even one that is doing, allegedly, social distancing. Everything we've learned over the last couple of weeks and a lot of stuff that's come in since my conversation was recorded with Dr. Dimitri shows that in California, where they were doing a good job in flattening and the curve and driving it downward, it's exploded again because bars and restaurants opened. Even infections being traced back to bars and restaurants that were supposedly practicing social distancing, you know, asking their guests to practice social distancing, putting tables 6 feet apart. Well, people have to move through a restaurant. And everything we know about this virus is that it's transferred most efficiently in enclosed spaces. All of these huge Black Lives Matter demonstrations haven't resulted in mass infection. And, you know, got to say it, all of the crazy wingnut demonstrations with the people carrying weapons at the Michigan State Capitol and other places also didn't result in mass infections. Gathering together in large groups outside, if people are wearing masks, which people were doing at the Black Lives Matter demos everywhere, doesn't seem to be an efficient mode of viral transmission with this virus, with COVID-19. So I'm most concerned, listening to your questions, I'm most concerned less about the sex than about the travel. People are going to get on airplanes and fly to Provincetown. How are people who are across the country going to get there? I'm less concerned with the sex than I am with how are y'all going to feed yourselves? And people are going to be packed together in hotel rooms or guest houses. That seems more of a concern. You know, I think a lot of Dr. Dimitri's advice in the conversation that we had last week was really rooted in an assumption that if people were going to seek out sex, they weren't going to travel for it very far. Maybe they were going to get on a bike and ride 2 miles. They weren't going to pack together in Provincetown for unofficial Bear Week and be in hotels and guest rooms where there aren't kitchens and they're going to have to go to restaurants. Yeah, all of that seems riskier to me than the people who are planning to have sex. Although the people, you know, on this Facebook group that you talk about who are planning to go to unofficial Bear Week in Provincetown and still have sex anyway are going to be having sex in an environment with all these other built-in risks. So if they contract it on an airplane on their way there, if they contract it in their guest house, if they contract it in a restaurant, that of course ups the odds of them passing it on to a partner they met up with for sex. So, yeah. If I were you, I would not be going to this event unless it was a reasonable drive and you had someplace safe to stay and you were packing in food or you knew enough places in Provincetown that were selling food to go in a safe way for you to get your food and maintain social distance from everybody else in that tiny little town with the narrow little streets by the beach. Yeah. Seems to me that you are attaching more risk and concern to sex because that's always sexier to think about the risks of sex than everything else that's going on around these men who are still planning to go to this event that is canceled to have sex with people that they probably shouldn't be having dinner with, much less sex with.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. My friends and I were hoping you'd weigh in on something. Whenever we go to the pet store to pick up a new chew toy for our dog, we joke about how much some of the dog toys look like sex toys. The Nylabone Galileo looks a lot like a dick, and the Big Beef Bone has a humorously sized flared base. Is there some secret economy of dog toys being sold as undercover sex toys, or are my friends and I just filthy-minded overthinkers?
Pervertibles. That's what you call things that you find in stores that aren't sex stores, that aren't sex toy shops, that could be pressed into service as a sex toy. A cucumber at the grocery store, potentially a pervertible. Doesn't have a flared base. You're going to be careful with that one. But a pervertible, a spatula. Some dominatrixes use spatulas as impact toys, and they're a lot cheaper than buying paddles. A lot stingier than paddles, too. But spatulas, totally a pervertible. Dog toys at the pet shop, yeah. Absolutely. Probably some of these things can and have been used as sex toys, as insertables. I wouldn't recommend it. You know, one of the issues that we constantly deal with in sex toy land is what is this thing I'm putting in my body made of? Is it made with toxic materials that can leach during play into my ass or into my vag? And you have to be careful about that. You want to make sure you're using high quality, usually silicone sex toys as insertables and not just shove anything up your twat. And I imagine that whatever they're making dog toys, squeeze toys out of in the factories where those things are made, most likely in China, they're not being really careful about materials. So dog toys might be pervertible. If you're going to use a dog toy as a pervertible, as an insertion toy, you might want to roll a condom over it first. All right, before I get to your response calls, let's read your tweets. Ross, RBeetle08, tweeted that after listening for years, he upgraded to a Magnum subscription this week. A big thank you to Ross and all our Magnum subscribers. All right, Shannon Duffy tweets, if you've never listened to the Savage Lovecast, give it a try. Dan is brilliant and funny and gives excellent love, sex, relationship advice, and his political rants at the top of every show are cathartic and quotable. Thank you very much, Shannon, for all those compliments that I am accepting now with no grace because I am too Catholic to accept a compliment and to have to read one out loud on my own show. Oh my God, I'm going to have to lie down in a dark room after this is all over. Laird C. tweets, The opening from Fake Dan Savage on last week's Lovecast has me feeling really depressed. When did people forget what empathy is? Prioritizing their perceived right to not wear a face mask over lives that are being lost and ruined as a result. My apologies to you, Laird. I bet the opening of this week's show depressed you too. And finally, Solitary Dukier tweets, thanks for the shout out to Rwanda at the top of the show last week, Dan. As an American living in Rwanda, I am shocked daily by the difference between the robust COVID-19 response here as compared to the USA. I am worried sick about my parents back home. Hey, everybody, remember when Donald Trump, that racist piece of shit, called countries with majority black populations shitholes? In addition to the African nation of Rwanda, the African nations of Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia, even war-torn, as they say, Somalia, all doing a better job containing the virus and stopping its spread than we are. And New Zealand this week, not an African country, for Americans who didn't study geography, New Zealand declared itself coronavirus-free and lifted all restrictions. None of those countries are shitholes. They also have the advantage of not being run by shitheads. If you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to include the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And now your response calls.
Hey, Dan, I just wanted to call and give a response to episode 715 on women disclosing abortions to their male partners. I think if it's safe for you to do, it's a really good idea. We're in our 30s now, but back in his late teens, early 20s, my boyfriend actually had two different women he was with who got pregnant and had abortions, and they made him aware of it, and it totally changed his sex practices moving forward. For example, we've been together almost a decade and we still use condoms and the pill because he just doesn't want to take a chance on having a baby he's not ready for, and he knows he's really lucky about his previous situation.
Hey, Dan, just listening to the Savage Lovecast today, I'd heard the advice about HPV vaccine. Really wanted to stress to everybody how important that is. My doctors told me even up to age 50, we should get it. I'm one of those men who was too old to get it with the original recommendation. My parents never even thought about it. And yet I ended up with tonsil cancer at age 47. Very high survival rate. I've beaten it. But I lost over a year of my life as a result. My career is stalled. There's just so many things that you don't think about that are an impact of taking the time out to beat cancer, even if it's what some would consider a minor cancer. So I can't encourage everybody enough. Go to your doctor. Don't wait for somebody to tell you. Take your sons to get that vaccine. Don't wait for the doctor to ask you. Be proactive with this one.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling about the woman in episode 715 who was worried about bidets contributing to UTIs. First off, I feel her pain. I had a UTI off and on for like a year, and now I'm super paranoid and careful to avoid them. But I'm also an extremely happy bidet owner. We got one maybe 4 years ago, and I've had zero issues with UTIs. It's been wonderful. And as a bonus, we don't get stressed when toilet paper is impossible to find due to a pandemic. You should buy one and enjoy.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz, 206-302-2064. Better yet, use the voice memo app on your phone and email us your question or comment at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. On Thursday, July 30th, coming right up, Nancy and I will be doing another Savage Love live stream on Zoom, and we want you to be there. Send us your burning questions early to livestream@savagelovecast.com, or send them to us live during the show, and we will try our best to get to as many of your questions as we can. Go to savagelovecast.com/events to get your tickets. And have you started making your short film for next year's hump? Now is the perfect time. We've extended the deadline for submissions to December 4th, so get humping, get filming, have some fun during this stressful time. Go to humpfilmfest.com/submissions to find out more about the extra credit items, the big cash prizes, and how to make and submit the perfect film for hump. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. Follow Jay Jordan on Twitter @JayJordan. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. I'll be back at you next week with an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.